circumstances seem so confusing. I'm placing them all in your hand. Your ways are higher than mine. I want mountains to move. You want me to climb. I'm gonna trust your
me. Bibles will stand. Let's turn to Zechariah. That's in the Old Testament. If you find the end of the Old Testament and just go back one book, you'll find it pretty easy. Zechariah chapter number 7 in your Bibles. Zechariah chapter number 7. Go to the end of the Old Testament, right before Matthew, and then just flip back a book. Zechariah, then Malachi. And find Zechariah chapter 7. The Bible says in verse number 1, "And it came to pass in the fourth year of King Darius, that the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah in the fourth day of the ninth month, even Shisleu, when they had sent unto the house of God Sharezer and Regemelech and their men to pray before the Lord, and to speak unto the priests which were in the house of the Lord of hosts, and to the prophets, saying, Should I weep in the fifth month, separating myself as I've done these so many years?" 70 years they'd been separating themselves twice a year and fasting and praying and weeping and mourning. Verse 4, "Then came the word of the Lord of hosts unto me, saying, Speak unto all the people of the land and to the priests, saying, When ye fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh month," see that? Twice a year. "Even those 70 years... 70 years they wept and fasted in the fifth and seventh month. He said, Did ye at all fast unto me, even to me? And when ye did eat, and when ye did drink, did ye not eat for yourselves and drink for yourselves? Should ye not hear the words which the Lord hath cried by the former prophets, when Jerusalem was inhabited and in prosperity? And when the cities thereof round about her, when men inhabited the south and the plain? And the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Execute true judgment, and show mercy and compassions every man to his brother, and oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor. And let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. But they refused to hearken, and pulled away the shoulder, and stopped their ears, that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath in the Lord of hosts. Therefore it has come to pass that as he cried, and they would not hear, so they cried, and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. But I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations whom they knew not. Thus the land was desolate after them, that no man passed through nor returned, for they laid the pleasant land desolate." Brother Dan, would you ask the Lord to bless the preaching, please?
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
As I said already in my announcements, I think a lot of this church. And when I say I think a lot of this church, I don't just mean I think oftentimes thoughts about this church. I mean I think a lot of you. I have a tremendous level of respect for the people that God's allowed me to pastor. And I'll tell you why I have a respect for you. Because I believe with all my heart, your purpose for being in church this morning is one. It's to hear that book preached. I enjoy fellowship, don't you? Come on now. I like getting here early. I like staying late. I like when I'm real tired and wore out at the end of the day and I got a headache because I preached twice already and studied in between and, you know, had counseling or whatever or just fellowship, whatever it's been, and I'm like wore out, ready to go home. I like having to go in there and shut that light off and having everybody kind of look at each other and like, oh, wow, it just got darker, and pretend it didn't even happen. And then start flipping every other switch in the back, you know, in about 5 more minutes, start flipping every other switch in the back and have is that our hint? And then pretend that they didn't even catch the hint. I like fellowship, don't you? I love getting together and opening up that old hymn book and just starting to sing some songs. That's a blessing, singing together. I like it when the singing gets exciting. And here lately, more and more often, some of you kind of start getting a little misbehaved during the song service. You know, a little amen squeaking out, a little hallelujah here or there. I like that stuff. I think it's a blessing. But can I say from day one, the primary purpose of this work has not been fellowship? And if your primary purpose for being in church is the fellowship, you're here for the wrong reason. Because when the sinful brethren break your heart or somebody upsets you or does you wrong, whether intentionally or unintentionally, and you took it wrong because you're hypersensitive, already preaching. Here I am telling you how much I appreciate you, and now I'm getting on you. But what I love about you is you take it, you appreciate it. When people let you down, that book won't. And that is the purpose of this church. For years, we struggled in the music department, but over the last couple of years, the music around here has been getting better and better and better. It's been a blessing. I mean, there's some actually really good music. They did a great job, man. They always have, but I'm just saying, like, it's a blessing having some good music. And here we are, we gather together. Now, right now, we can't sing, but we can do one thing. We can open the book and preach. And I appreciate a church that wants to hear from God. It's a blessing to a preacher, a pastor, that in verse number 11 he said, but they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped the ear and they would not hear. It's a blessing to me to get into a pulpit like this and to have perfect liberty to preach the Word of God. You're a good church. I mean that. A lot of pastors get in the pulpit and they have to preach through what I call, and there's no other way to really describe it, a wet blanket. There's like something between the pew and the pulpit that is like a buffer for the preacher. He wants to get preaching, but it's like the looks on their faces and the attitude and the phone calls he got during the week and the emails and the text messages and the deacon board and all the other things that come up against him all the time. It almost makes it impossible for a human being, whether he's called to preach or not, to get in the pulpit and rule out all the garbage that went on all week and just minister the Word of God with liberty and with power. There comes a point where it's almost no message can be preached other than love, 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 or it's personal. And he goes home and sits back and worries about whether or not he was even right with God because of all the emotions he's got going on all week. Are you with me? And all the emotions that have been going on in the pews. Listen, when you have this many people gathered together, it is almost impossible. No, it is impossible for a human being to get up and preach every week and not somewhere along the line be misunderstood, misrepresented, or disagreed with. You know what I like about our church? We don't all think the same thing. If everybody thinks the same thing, nobody's thinking. And I'm going to say this while it's on my mind. It is impossible for me every time I'm in this pulpit to deal with every 360 degree angle of every single thing in every single message. Well, preacher, you say we ought to be subject to the government. But if the government's overreaching, at what time do we actually have to obey God rather than men? Listen, it is impossible to cover every... unless you want to be here all week. I wonder how long I could go preaching without sleeping. I know I can run past 24, but I don't know if I can get to 48 hours. That's a long time. Do you understand the point I'm making? It's impossible.
What is a blessing is having people that have the Spirit of God in them, that are looking for the Word of God, that if that book is preached, instead of sitting back and nitpicking everything and turning the ear and turning the shoulder and getting rebellious toward God and rebellion, it's a blessing to have people that are on point, that are on focus, that are saying, God, speak to my heart, and wanting to hear from God. Boy, that gives me liberty to preach, man. And I'll tell you something else. It pleases the Lord. I appreciate it. I mean, man, how bad is it for pastors right now who are worried about their own finances? On top of that, they're worried about the church finances. On top of that, they got people giving them a hard time about every decision they make, when they're human beings just trying to figure it out like you are. Imagine that. I'm not preaching for myself this morning. I'm trying to tell you it's been, I'm not dealing with this stuff. I'm trying to tell you it's been a blessing pastoring a bunch of people that are on point. And I believe that's why I haven't had a whole bunch of stress on me worrying about whether or not our church is going to, quote unquote, bounce back. You know, a friend of mine was, I and I were talking, and he's not even anywhere around here. He and I were talking a couple of weeks ago. And the concern is, you know, I'm just afraid that people that aren't faithful are going to wind up, after being out of church so much, not coming back. And my thought to him was this. I said, now hang on a quick second. Think about it like this. Here's an illustration. Grandma has all the kids over every Saturday, hypothetically speaking. And Grandma makes her sweet potato pie, covered in the pecans on top, and now that like brown sugar frosting that's crispy, you know what I'm saying? It's all creamy underneath. And she puts a ton of sugar in it, make it all sweet tasting. And she gets those homemade butter biscuit things and she gets her ham or her steak or her pork. My grandma used to make breaded pork chops. Never forget them. The breading, the Italian breadcrumbs on that pork chop was as thick as the pork chop, man. It was amazing. But Grandma gets pneumonia. Grandma gets sick. And says, kids, I'm really sick. I can't make lunch this Saturday. Can't make dinner this Saturday. I'm sorry. And Grandma stays sick for a few weeks and he says, kids, I'm sorry. And the kids get out of the habit of going to Grandma's. Kids, grandkids, you know, the big family get-together thing. They get out of the habit of going to Grandma's for their Grandma's big Saturday dinner. But Grandma then, after a few weeks, gets better. And she calls the kids and says, I'm making your favorite sweet potato pie. I'm going to have your favorite breaded pork chops. And the kids are like, oh, sorry, Grandma, you know, we got a new system now and we're just kind of out of the habit of coming to your house, so we're not coming. Uh-uh. No. Hey, dinner's on! Listen, when God's people come to God's house for the bread of life, for the Word of God, if you starve them for a little bit, they're just going to get more hungry. They're going to show up when dinner's on again. My job is not to worry about everything going on in the world. My job is to put the food out there, and if you want to eat, it's there. Come get it. And if you don't, what was your motive for being here anyhow? Can I tell you this? You might forget about church and you might forget about God, but God don't forget. Tomorrow is Memorial Day, right? Listen, I want to say something. And I've been praying and thinking and even jotted down some notes here on how to say it, because I want to be careful. I realize that when it comes to a lot of things, I'm not a very sentimental or nostalgic kind of person. I know that about myself. So it comes to Memorial Day and Veterans Day and Mother's Day and Father's Day and Christmas, the big one for Christians. And I know a lot of times I won't have Christmas themes and a Christmas month and a, you know, the nativity sermon every single year. And I grew up on that stuff, and I'm not saying it's wrong. Just for me, you heard my psychology just a second ago, every single year. It's like, I already know the message. I can quote you the passages without even opening my Bible off the top of my head, almost entire chapters, because that was just such a big thing in our culture. And then it wasn't just Christmas and Easter. Now it's Mother's Day, and it's Father's Day. Now there's a Grandparents' Day, and there's a President's Day, and there's a Law Enforcement Day, and there's a Politics Day. Where, you know, I mean, born-again Christians, Bible-believing preachers, having senators that may or may not even be saved in their pulpit to address their congregation. Are you on crack? Let a saved man, not a lost man, get up here to talk to your church to persuade them how to vote and it's so cold in the room because the born again Christians that have some truth, it's who they are, and truth resonates with them in their heart and in their mind. Here's a fraud in the pulpit trying to talk all Christian-y because they know they want the votes and they know who they're speaking to, and it's just like as cold as ice. God ain't in that stuff, man. And so I tend to go the other way. I realize that. But so that's why I wanted to say some things this morning. You've heard some of the things that I've said about Christians and politics. You've heard what I've said about obeying the authorities with the madness going on in our world around us right now. Can I stop for 1 minute and tell you that I love my country? You understand that? You understand I greatly appreciate the men, more than you know or more than I express, who have laid down their life for this nation. My wife grew up in Fayetteville, North Carolina, Fort Bragg and Pope Air Force Base. When she was growing up there, both there. I believe Fort Bragg still is, Pope's not, right? Her dad was 82nd Airborne. Her grandpa, Korea. Both of my grandpas, World War II. One of my uncles, Marines. Brother's been deployed multiple times. The Richardson's brother. And many more of you. I appreciate our military. My wife has a special appreciation for them because she sat in church with the wives back then, they were younger than she is now, whose husbands were gone, deployed, and they're worried sick, and some of those guys were in Delta, which is down there as well, and the wives wouldn't even know where they were or what was going on, and that thing could carry on for a very long time, not even knowing where they're at in the world, just knowing they're gone. Not knowing from morning to morning, day to day, week to week, whether or not your husband's going to be dead or not, whether or not that phone call is going to ring, whether or not they're going to pull up in your front yard. I appreciate guys who lay down their life for this country. I appreciate American liberty. I appreciate freedom, don't you? A little more now than ever before. I want to say that. I want to go on record saying that. Just because I haven't turned this pulpit into a political machine doesn't mean there's not more than one side to me. I just know time and place. And when we get here, there's one thing that really matters, and it's that book. And it's the one who laid down his life and won the ultimate battle for true liberty, which is liberty from sin and an eternity in the lake of fire. This thing is about Jesus Christ. The messages that come out of this pulpit, though from time to time practically apply to our culture in the U.S., ought to be messages that could go anywhere in the world and be used of God to help God's people, regardless of whether or not they're Americans. You understand that difference? I hope you get that. I hope you understand where I'm coming from. I am not anti-America. I'm not unpatriotic. I've told you there's a few things that I really believe that I'd die for, and I believe one of them is this country. But this pulpit is not meant to be used as a tool to push voting and politics. Listen, this country's come a long way, baby. The Republicans nowadays are more liberal than the Democrats of 50 years ago. My grandpa was a Democrat. And 50 years ago, he was more conservative than some of the ones these preachers want to beat their chest about nowadays in this culture. In the name of God, how can you get in the pulpit and talk about God bless America? But God said, if you do this, I'll do that. If you do that, I'll do that. And we're doing everything he said not to do. And God remembers. One of the things men learn from history is men never learn from history. And as a preacher, my job is to make whatever impact God allows me to make and wants me to make. If that stays within the four walls of this church, then glory to his name. We don't have to be a big pool to make a big splash. Amen? And if God wants it to go farther, that's his business. I could care less. I am so happy just with you and me. I'm good. Amen. I do not sit on my back porch and say, I wish I had their kids and their kids and their kids and their kids and their property. I take care of what's mine, and I'm happy with that. Amen? And if all God gives me is you, then praise the Lord for that. I'm good with that. But if God wants those messages to go find, that's His business in His time. A preacher's job is just to put the truth out there. And sometimes that means you got to tell your country, you got to tell the people around you, we've walked away from God, we've walked away from that book, and whether or not the rest of the world listens is not my problem. My problem is to make sure that we hear what God says and we obey God, and that this place, the Bible Believers Church of South Lyon, so long as I'm the pastor and God puts breath in my big little lungs. Amen. They're small, but they can make a lot of noise. Long as God puts breath in these lungs, I want you to hear what God has to say. And I want you and I to remember that God has a memory, even though you and I forget. And boy, we forget a lot, don't we? God don't forget. We forget where our nation came from. Memorial Day is tomorrow. We forget the price that many paid to get us here. Yes, amen. We take it for granted. Sure we do. But more importantly than that, we can very quickly and easily forget about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who bled and died on the cross of Calvary to give us the ultimate liberty. Even if they take away my liberty in this life, they can't have my soul. I'm set free. I mean, just slit my throat and let me bleed out. Don't stop. Don't stick your finger in that. Let it go. Why? Because you're setting me free, man, for eternity. Because somebody gave his life for me. And every time I commit a sin against him and break his heart, you know why? Because I forgot. I forgot. I've never sinned against God while I was thankful for and meditating on and walking in the fact that my Savior washed away my sin and forgave me. It's whenever I don't think about him, but I think about myself that I do wrong. We got short memories. Well, let your heart be encouraged. So did Israel. So human nature hasn't changed. And just because this is the United States of America doesn't mean human nature is going to change. Now, I want to say this because it's going to come up here as we go through the passage. Not everything's black and white. Did you hear what I just said? Not everything is black and white. Some things are kind of in between. One of the problems with God's people is they forget that fact. When you read the book of Luke, chapter number 6, Jesus Christ is going through the cornfields with his disciples, and they're grabbing the ears of corn, and they're rubbing them out, and they're eating the corn on the Sabbath, right? You know what the Pharisees did? The ones who could quote the Bible? They come after the Lord. Why are you guys doing that? Why are your disciples doing that? It's the Sabbath day. You know what Jesus Christ said to them? Here's his response. Have ye not read so much as how David went and ate the holy bread? You know what Jesus Christ's rebuke to the religious crowd was? You don't even know this simple, basic little truth. You don't even remember this tiny little story from the Old Testament. He was rebuking them for their tiny little knowledge of Scripture, their narrow little view by which they viewed religion and God and standards and restrictions. They had this minimalistic, it's my way or the highway, it's the way I do things or it's wrong, it's what I've heard preached and what I feel and what I think, and they forgot the Word of God. And he said, not everything's as simple as you want to make it. But the answers are all in the Bible. Not trying to confuse you. Are you following my line of thinking right now? Not everything is as simple as you want to make it. See, what people want from religion is they want the list. They want the do's and the don'ts. They want the thou shalt and thou shalt not. But that failed in the Old Testament. Everybody wants a pastor. Tell me what to do about. Tell me how to handle. Whether or not I should watch this and wear this and go here or go there or listen to this or listen to that. Tell me how to. And that's not always that simple, folks. If you don't understand the day and age we're living in, I'll give you a little insight. Not everybody can grab their child and whoop their hind end when they got a whooping coming. Well, she should just whip those kids. Well, what if the ex tries to turn it into something it ain't? Genius. Around here, we're trying to help people. We're not trying to rope everybody into a specific standard. Not everything's as simple as you want to make it. And if there was ever a day and age when things aren't simple, or a circumstance in which things aren't simple, it is COVID-19. If you haven't noticed, the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. The right hand's hitting the left hand's striking back. And nobody seems to know. I mean, even from county to county, not talking state to state. I'm not talking feds and states. I'm talking from county to county. The officers don't even know what's legal and not. And so then fools want to jump on your back and force you to do everything exactly the way they think it should be done right now because it's Memorial Day, give me my rights. Slow down, hotshot. Have ye not read so much as your ignorance of the Bible is showing? Slow down a little bit. Fools rush in where wise men fear to tread. Take a second. Or you want to go be a bullet stop, great. The rest of us that are going to fight the real battle and no sense of timing and no when and how and the proper methodology, we're going to wait. Everything's not quite as simple and black and white as you and I'd like it to be, but the answers are still in that book. And it behooves us to slow down and hear from God so God can direct us. I don't care this morning what any other pastor's doing anywhere. I'm tuning them all out. Because what I need to hear from is God. You want to know something? I said it already, I'm going to say it again. I'm not worried about whether or not you all are going to come back to church. Would it break my heart if people quit on God over this? Lost interest? It would break my heart more than you know. I'm a little bit more of a sissy than you think. Amen. I'm a little bit more tender-hearted than I want to show. It's a fault of mine. Break my heart. But I can't keep myself up at night. I can't have indigestion every time I eat or irritable bowel syndrome because I'm being panicked about whether or not I've been following God when I've been doing my very best to follow God. Amen. Well, brother, what if people don't come back to church anymore? Well, you do whatever you think God wants you to do, brother. But for me, I got to look out for the big picture. For me, it's not black and white. I'm worried about what God's called me to do and who God's called me to minister to and how I am concerned. Yes, I am concerned about my testimony in this community. That doesn't mean I'll compromise truth, but I am concerned about what other people may say or may think if they're going to walk away from the gospel and the devil's going to use it as an opportunity to cripple the future. You say what you will. I got Bible for what I'm saying. You got to pull stuff out of context and twist it and try to make it apply in a gray area. Not everything's as black and white as you might think. And somebody right across the street may have had a loved one die. Listen, the underlying issues would not be an argument for you if it was your loved one that died. And if we look like a bunch of rebel, maverick idiots that want to... Somebody across the street might have lost their business. And if we're just, well, we got to have church, we got to have church, we got to have church. Like one lost guy said, listen, you preachers, quit screaming about your rights because all of us are losing our rights. And just be honest for once. You want the money. So just go ahead and put your little links online and encourage your people to give online, donate on your websites, and quit screaming about liberty when we know you're faking it. You said, was that a fair accusation? I have no idea. I'm just telling you the way it can look to a lost world when everybody's going through a hard time right now. It's not all black and white. So the most important thing we can do is open up that book and slow down and say, God, I need to hear from you. Guide me, direct me, and help me to think of things bigger than myself right now. And help me to understand that you don't work the way men want you to work. Did you hear me? I've learned by my own experience, by observation, and by reading my Bible, God doesn't work the way men think he should, the way men want him to. His ways are higher than mine. There are times you look at a circumstance or a situation like Job. There's some Job for you, brother. You look at a situation like Job. This isn't right. You're right, it's not. This isn't fair. Absolutely not. My God would never. I was wondering about somebody who says that like they got a personal God. My God, is that a small g? Because last I checked, he bought you. You didn't buy him. Yeah, your God just might say, all right, Lucifer, have your way. How come nobody thinks about that? I really rattled some cages last week when I said maybe it's a trick of the devil that the conservative, more Christian-friendly guy gets voted into office to chill out the Christians. Because when I read my Bible and when I look at church history, the church multiplies and grows and God's people draw closer to him when they're persecuted. Not when they're in prosperity, bringing us to our text this morning. When they were in prosperity, in verse number 7, and Jerusalem was inhabited, and everything was going great, they didn't listen to what the preacher said. And now all of a sudden, everybody's wanting to Google every preacher under the planet. They're not first going through and validating those preachers. They're just looking for some, oh, he's got a million listens. He's got to be authoritative. He might be a charlatan. The devil's been prepping for a time just like this. And then I got, well, I don't like the way he talks. All right, but is he giving you the truth? Then he loves you. And he doesn't have a personal agenda. And he's God's, and God's got control of him. So he's giving the message. God's preachers are rarely ever popular. Rarely ever popular. Most of the time they were hated. Shepherds are an abomination to the Egyptians. Well, I'm not here to shepherd any Egyptians. Doesn't matter what they think. I'm here to do God's job. But I'm not going to do it in a way that gives my Savior a black eye and that hurts people. I'm going to do it the way God had me to do it. So in their prosperity, they forgot the Lord. Well, here's my fear, and we'll get into the message and we'll go. My fear is this, since we all have such short memories, that when all this continues to open up, and that when, I'm not prophesying, I'm just saying, hypothetically speaking, Donald Trump gets voted back into office, and all the governors that are overreaching their power and have liberal agendas, and I don't doubt any of that's going on, get shut down by the Constitution, by the upper courts, and the American system works for us again. Praise the Lord for that. If it does, praise the Lord. Seriously. Wasn't it great to see what Donald Trump said? About we need more prayer, we need, you know, churches need their rights. Also, wasn't that encouraging? But wait a minute, was that the Spirit of God? See, you got to know me well enough now where you won't answer. Nobody even shook their head either way. You were like, well, wait a second, where's he going with this one? Well, was it the Spirit of God or not? I mean, wait a second, think about what he said. Can you authoritatively say it was the Spirit of God? When he said Jews in their synagogues and they're anti what? They're anti-Christ, aren't they? When he said Muslims and their what are they called? Mosques, thank you. Well, they're clearly anti-Christ, aren't they? You know why I was never worried about our religious liberty? Because the Jews that have a lot of money and the Muslims that have a lot of money and a lot of votes and the Roman Catholics that have a lot of money and a lot of votes weren't going to stand for it. And I knew that from the get-go. And I knew behind the scenes they were going to be doing what they do with pulling strings because the love of money is the root of all evil. They're going to be making things happen to make sure that they get to keep going in their lucrative religions. Like, I understand history. See, I read my Bible. And what they're in there, and I had a feeling that this thing wasn't going to last anyways. And if nothing but a bunch of independent Bible believers screamed and yelled, nothing would ever get done because we're nobody. We got no power in this world. But we got God. But I was glad to hear him say it, weren't you? I did thank the Lord for it, did you? I really did. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Good to know. Because I don't want to suffer. I'm not rooting for suffering. I'm not rooting for the judgment of God on America. But I'm saying this, sometimes in those down times, they're really good times. I hate to say that to you. Because it hurts. It hurts. And the God that saved me, whose I am, I'm his. He has allowed a lot of pain in my life. Not as bad as some of you, but maybe worse than others. Enough to where my medicine that I had to drink was exactly what I needed to drink. And he has taught me that in the down times when it doesn't make sense and it's not fair, he does a work. And in the time of blessing, boy, you know, I can real easily forget to sit back and say, thank you, Lord. I gotta mow the grass again. This grass is so thick and plush and lush and so healthy that now I gotta mow it again. Instead of going, man, Lord, thanks for a beautiful yard and a nice lawn. Oh, more branches came down in the wind. Instead of, Lord, you know what? Thanks for putting these trees in my yard. You see how quickly in prosperity you can just forget to thank God? Kids, all these leftovers are going to waste. Instead of, my goodness, man, Lord, we got all these leftovers in here. I mean, this is ridiculous how good you've been to us. Amen. See how prosperity's got a way of getting your mind and heart away from God. But boy, when you need some food, when you're worried about the bills, when you're worried about your liberty, you hit your knees, boy. So I'm just saying, in prosperity, you know what we can do? We can forget, but God don't forget. God, don't forget. I hope you and I pull out of this whole COVID thing and get back to normal soon, 100% normal soon. We're getting there. It's going that way. Praise the Lord for it. Be encouraged. Smile. It's okay. That's a good thing. I hope we pull out of this and don't forget the lessons that God's been intending to give us. And I'm telling you, I got some lessons. It's going to be coming out over the next couple of years. I'm telling you what, I got some lessons. If I don't forget them, I'm not the same man I was back in March or whenever this dumb thing started. I'm not the same man. A couple of lessons I want to make sure that we don't forget. And here's one of them that I had to deal a lot with in making big decisions that are big. To me, they're big, which I didn't make quick. I get good counsel from a very select group. Very small. So I take my time to pick my counselors. I don't just let anybody influence me. I get counsel, but I never made a decision just because so-and-so said such-and-such. Because I believe that I'll answer to God for the decisions I make. It's been a hard thing. Look at what God says in verse number 9. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, exact, true judgment. One of the things God wants from his people that we can't forget is exacting, true judgment. Not false judgment. True judgment.
Well, we're not supposed to be judgmental. Everybody on the planet's judgmental.
You know, some of those judgmental people are the people that judge me for being judgmental. I had to wait for a second to make sure you got that. You shouldn't be so judgmental. You know what the right response to that is? You know what? It goes right over their head. Too stupid to get it. The right response is, you're right, I'm sorry. Your judgment is correct. God says exact, true judgment. I want to be careful in my judgment because not everything's as black and white as you and I would like it to be. Not everything's as simple as we want it to be. Not everything's quite as clear cut, but this book, if you'll get in it and study it and pay attention to it, this book has all the answers and you can figure out how to exact the kind of judgment the Spirit of God would have you to exact by being in this book. God wants his people to exact true judgment. Okay, preacher, so how in the world am I going to figure all that out? I'll show you exactly how. Look back at verse 5. Speak unto all the people of the land of the priests when ye fasted and mourned. And let me ask you a good judgment question. Is fasting and mourning a good thing? Not a trick question. You can shake your head on this one. Yes. Okay, I'm not saying that means you do it. I'm just saying it's a good thing, right? Okay, yes. When you did it in the fifth and seventh month, even those 70 years, did you do it with the right motive? You know what Isaiah 58 said when God's judging his people? He says, you fasted for the wrong motive, to smite with the fist of wickedness. What's the right motive for fasting? to turn around America.
No. No. Have you read your Bible? This thing's going to get worse and worse. You think it's bad now? You're freaking out over this? Just wait. You know, get your heart pills ready. You're going to need them. Men's hearts failing them for fear. Heart attacks haven't dropped just because they're relabeling what actually killed the guy. I care what the labels say. All of a sudden, heart disease didn't cure itself when everybody quit going to the doctor. Anyways, I'm going to refrain. Motive. What's the purpose to fast? For America! Stop with America for a minute. The purpose to fast and to mourn is so I can get closer to my Savior. So He can get more control of my flesh than He's ever had. So maybe I can do a little bit of something to impact. Let's start simple before we worry about America. How about your own home? How about your own marriage? How about your children? How about your job and your lost loved ones and your aunts and your uncles and your cousins and your brothers and your sisters? How about the people around you that need to see God on you? So they know where to go and they need some help. What's the reason to fast and to mourn? For Him. Unto Him, for Him. It ain't my job to worry about whether or not God wants me to pastor 120 or like we've been lately down to 50 so we can social distance. It ain't my job to worry about that. If God wants to demote me to 50 because everybody loves the time off so much they don't come back to church. Test of my character, right? How I handle a demotion rather than a promotion. It ain't my job to worry about results. It's my job to worry about me and Him, to walk with Him. True judgment is, God, where do I stand with You? How am I? How are my thoughts? How's my heart? How are my motives? Am I worried about everybody else? Or am I looking to You? True judgment. You can't pass true judgment on anybody else this morning as to whether or not they're in church. You can just ask yourself why you're here. Do you know some of them? You got such a carnal preacher. Like some of the guys that are that shallow are saying, if you're a real man, you'd be standing up for your rights. Listen, I'll tell you how carnal I am as a pastor. Some of my blessed church members that I love with all my heart, that have never given me an ounce of trouble. Some of them try to be a pain, but they don't work. It don't work. I just laugh at them. Just kidding. Listen, I said, I don't think you should come. But that's your business. You know, some might not come. It's just a suggestion. Some might not come because for them, they're not sure whether or not they should. If the government says we're not penalizing you, and we're not going to enforce it on you, but we'd rather you don't. But then others say we can or can't, and it's all just so confusing to them. They're just like, we're just going to take it on the safe side. I would never encourage somebody to violate their conscience. Even if, how could, shut up, man. Not your problem. Not your problem. And I respect their decision. And you know what? I would rather be the place that everybody can come back to afterwards and we just pick up like nothing ever happened and just get back to church and have great fellowship and love one another and move on for Jesus Christ rather than nitpick about stupid decisions because your judgment's one thing and their judgment was another through all this whole thing. Well, I think it was. Well, I don't think so. Well, I think it was. Well, that's just stupid. You mean, worked up by watching all them stupid media, all that stupid TV where they just debate and debate and fight. People love that stuff because it's wicked. It's flesh. Back and forth. Shut it off. And don't bring that culture into the house of God. Exact true judgment. Well, you know where you can get true? The hardest place it is to actually be accurately true. Me and God. He said exact true judgment. So where are you at with the Lord? You want good judgment? Your motive for your judgment is what it's all about. In verse 6, they did eat and they drank. But how did they do it? Yeah, just like some of you when you sit down and just dive into your food without stopping to say, thank you, Lord. I hope you get dysentery. I don't want you to die, but just... Why? Because every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if
it be received with the word of God and what? Thanksgiving. You live in a nation where all these guys that are anti-socialism, right? Anti-redistribution of wealth, right? Anti-government overreach! How dare them tell us we can or can't, that I have to wear a mask, that I have to social. It's just stupid! Oh, but you can have my personal banking numbers and my routing numbers, and you can make all the deposits you want. Well, what a government overreach. Wasn't that in your personal business? Hello? Oh, they don't have mine because I owed last year. Let me hurry up and jump on the website and give them everything. Just talking about true judgment. Just saying. Motives are everything. Methods are secondary. We don't have the time because I took too much time setting this up this morning, but in Matthew 23, you can go back and read it later, the Lord shows that it's not that you shouldn't have done these things, but it's that you shouldn't have left the other undone. He was saying the main thing is your heart, your motive. And there's all these other things that you do, and you think you're godly, and you think you're right because you do all these things. You got good judgment on all these things, your standards, and this, we're this, and we're this, and we're this. And we check all the boxes of what makes us right, doctrinally sound, and the best church around, and we're this, and we're this, and we're this. And God said, Jesus Christ says, yeah, but inside you're full of dead men's bones. I would rather your heart be right with God and your methods be a little wacky. Because if your heart is right with God, He will, with time, work your methods out. Do you see what I'm talking about in true judgment? You see why we need to go to the next point because the time's getting late? We need to have mercy. Because you might look at a brother or sister in Christ and you might see their methods are all off. Wait a minute. That applies to me. When I shut down and forsake the assembling of ourselves together, right? Have mercy on me, because if I was doing it with the right motive, but wait, that also applies to my critic. Ouch. Who said, I'm not shutting down, the government won't tell me what to do because I'm a rebel. Wait a minute. I don't know his heart. See, this part's not fun. I like the other part. When I was defending myself, that feels great. This part where the Holy Spirit says, wait a second, Mike, true judgment. If you're going to get all worked up about him saying you were wrong or them saying you were wrong or so-and-so saying such and such, then why don't you get all worked up about yourself for criticizing them for not doing it your way? Ooh. You know what God's told me? He talks to me like this. He probably doesn't talk to you this way. You've heard me say this before, right? So you already know where I'm going. We'll be out walking. We'll be out weed whipping. I say we because He said He wouldn't leave me or forsake me, right? Don't forget. He don't forget. Don't you forget. And we're out weed whipping. And He kind of gets quiet sometimes. Because He reads my thoughts and He hears what I'm saying. And He goes, I can't really agree with that. And I'm like, There's a reason I'm off Facebook and Instagram and everything else. Because Facebook and Instagram and everything else screams to a level that they drown out somebody else that never leaves me, and I forget about him, and he doesn't forget, he sees. And I'm weed whipping, and I'm thinking, I'd bust him in the mouth, man, a stupid little arrogant punk that nothing, he's a nothing man. Yeah, a stinking doughboy. Go drink a cup of coffee, you little idiot. You got nothing, you green, you wet behind the ears, you moron. He can't see nothing, he ain't got no wisdom. He ain't got no, shut up, you know. Why did he even tell me what the guy said? You don't preach. I'm sorry if I'm a little too transparent this morning. Thank you. I'm not alone then. I'm not the only one. And the Holy Spirit says, boy, I've been merciful to you, ain't I? Yeah, but that's different. I'm sorry to interrupt your thoughts. I know you're having a great little time in your pity party right now. In your self-judgment, because you're so great and you're doing everything right. But don't you think maybe his circumstances might be a little bit different than yours? Don't you think maybe, I told somebody recently, I said, you know what, I've been privileged to have had some personal relationships that were close with some men who had wisdom, had God, and had been given some things from other men that have been passed down through the generations. I've had privileges as a pastor and as a preacher that not every preacher gets to have an older man in my life. God has always put somebody there to get me through and to give me an older man that entrusted me enough to say, here, I'm going to have some personal talks with you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you some things that were given to me. Here's some things I learned on my own. Don't make those mistakes. And the Lord says, oh, so okay, so you think you got so much wisdom and you can see so many things and blah, blah, blah. Where'd you get any of that? And then he reminds me of what a blockhead I really personally am in my own life and my own personality. How very little I really am intellectual. I'm not an intellectual type of guy. I figure hit it with a hammer. If it breaks, don't worry about it. You wouldn't have been hitting it with a hammer if it wasn't already broke. Throw it away and get a new one. If the first time you hit it doesn't fix, hit it harder. Duct tape works on everything. That's the way I go through life. That's the way I've always gone through life. I'm not saying I can't stop and think. I just don't naturally. And I had to have somebody come along and say, Reagan, you don't stop and think much. Slow down, boy. Oh, yeah. It's amazing. When you start firing brain cells, they kind of can work. Because somebody had mercy on me. Somebody helped me with that. And not everybody's had that privilege. And God says, have I had mercy on you? I say, yeah, you sure have. Haven't some guys had mercy on you? Yes, sir. Yeah, Lord, they have. And why don't you have any to pass out to anybody else, boy? You got a short memory, don't you? Yes, sir, I do. Oh, it's just your pride that's hurt. It's just the fact that they had the guts to criticize you that's bothering you. Yes, sir, you're right. So why don't you exact true judgment on him? Since you're so good at doing it for yourself, why don't you do it for him? And say, you know what? I'm going to show him mercy because God knows his motives. I don't. God knows his heart. I don't. But that kind of thing delights the Lord. I'm glad God's mercy is unlimited. And God never forgets to forget. Do you hear what I said? God never forgets to forget. Aren't you glad? The mercy of God's unlimited? Yes, it's unlimited. But you don't know what I've done. I don't care what you've done. If God went from eternity to hell and back, you think you can do anything on this little planet in your measly little sinful life that God can't take care of? Well, give me that garbage. You ain't so big and so bad and so wicked, God can't wipe it away. He's merciful. I don't have the time to develop this. I wish I did, but I'll tell you this much. God's mercy is always connected with his goodness. Surely what? Mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Has God been good to you? It's because he's merciful. Want some true judgment? Because the second thing is mercy. God doesn't forget to judge righteously. God doesn't forget to be merciful. True judgment? Well, God's blessing us because... Yeah, I have those silly thoughts when God blesses me. It's always God blessing me. And then when things go bad, it's not God, it's the devil. God's allowing the devil to perfect me. Because I was doing so good and I'm so spiritual and things are going so great and I got so much wisdom that, you know, now this is, of course, the devil because it's never God whooping me to show me myself. You see how that works? True judgment? God has it. He doesn't forget. Mercy? God has it. He doesn't forget. And I'll testify this morning. I'm not preaching for this second. I'll testify this morning. God's goodness in my life has been because of his mercy. If I got what I deserved today, right now, if I got what I deserved, my life would look totally different. My last point will go, God never forgets to have compassion. I hope you and I can remember. Verse 9, exact true judgment, show mercy and compassion, every man to his brother. Uh-oh. You know what I learned years ago? It's an uncanny thing about Bible-believing Christians. They have compassion on the lost. They have compassion. I mean, some of them don't. Some of them are so pharisaical, they don't even have compassion for the lost. A lost person can't go in there because it's like, I don't want to go to church, I'm a sinner. We've had guys say, I can't come into your church because if I do, it'll burn down. I said, try it. We got insurance. That's how I handle them. If I came to your church, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, you think you're that bad, huh? You have no idea some of the guys that are sitting in those pews, and they just look pretty good now, but you got no idea some of the guys sitting in their pews. Try it and see. Some Christians, not very many, most true Christians have compassion on the lost. You know what they don't have compassion on? Each other. Specifically, if your judgment isn't the same as my judgment. Specifically, if you didn't show me mercy. Specifically, if you don't agree with me. God says, what I want you to do is exercise true judgment, have mercy and compassion towards your brother. That pharisaical Christian! Why don't you have compassion on the Pharisees? You ain't Jesus. You didn't fulfill the law. They're trying to because they feel dirty. Have some compassion on them. Why don't you have compassion on those that are too liberal for your take? Just talking about being more like the Lord. Aren't you glad he had compassion on you? Isn't it a blessing to have a God of compassion? You know what I've come to figure out? I don't know much about the ministry at all, and I don't pretend to. And one of the greatest things I've ever learned about the ministry is I don't have a clue. I try to minister, but I'm clueless. My wife and I have this conversation all the time. What are we supposed to do? So-and-so's asking such and such. What do I say? I don't have a clue. Give me a minute. I got to think. I got to pray. I don't know what to say. You know what I appreciate about the Lord? He knows people's hearts. And sometimes some people say and do things, and maybe they're even wrong, dead wrong. And maybe you're right. Maybe you're even right in your judgment on them. Even their motives are wrong. They're just wrong. Came right out of their mouth. I mean, just as clear as a bell. Like that's, well, there you go. That's the reason. But wait. Jesus Christ looked at them with compassion as a sheep there because they were sheep not having a shepherd. Just maybe if we can be a compassionate people, some people that don't get it yet, eventually, they'll get it. That's why I try really hard now when people come up against me, which is not very often at this church, not to just cut the head off. See, I mentioned a little bit ago, God gave me some men around me that had some experience that have helped me, and they noticed a tendency in me to, just as soon as somebody wants to fight me, it's like, you know, you hit me, I'll hit you back, and I'll hit you back twice as hard and twice as fast, and I'll throw hard combinations. I will end you. That's Mike Reagan, see? That ain't the spirit of God. Just because the arm's got a cut on it and it's getting a little infected and it's kind of messed up doesn't mean you got to cut the arm off. Sometimes with a little balm of Gilead, a little bit of the Word of God, with a little bit of true judgment and mercy and compassion, that infection on that person can start to heal. I've had infections. Not talking about COVID. I've had infections that were bad. I've had infections that were spiritual life ending. Your pastor, has been in spiritual ICU. And the great physicians come in there and said, that's bad. But don't cut it off yet. Because I think, in my judgment, he's got a fighting spirit. I think in my judgment, with a little bit of help and a little bit of nursing and a little bit of medication, that thing can heal itself and we can get him out of here. And he showed up in true judgment. He showed up in mercy. He showed up in compassion in my life. And brought me out of that hospital bed and then said, well, thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And I'm standing before you this morning with tomorrow being Memorial Day, and I'm thankful for my country. I'm thankful for lives that were given, sacrifices that were made. It's not just the men that died. What about the wives that lost their husbands? What about the mothers who lost their sons? What about the men who went and lost their legs, came back with their life completely changed forever? Think about the fallout of that in your marriage when your husband comes home, but he's not the same and can't do the same things, and then how he feels towards her when she's got to wait on him and dote on him all the time, and how that makes him feel personally in his heart. I mean, you cannot imagine the sacrifice level that some have made for your freedom. But wait, I don't want to forget something even more important, because I guarantee you God does not forget sacrifice his son Jesus Christ made so a sinner like me could go free. And I want to remember what he did for me, and I want to make sure that in my life I remember to emulate and copycat him in my relationship to other people, showing true judgment, showing mercy, showing compassion, so that hopefully God will sit in heaven and say, well, COVID blew over. 2020 was a crazy year. But there's one guy down there in South Lyon, Michigan, who didn't forget what I tried to show him during COVID. And he came out of that thing a different person. Let's bow our heads, if you would, please. We're not going to have an invitation this morning, but